Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 250 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden, and this week we have reached it, folks. We have reached episode 250 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I think that's a pretty outstanding benchmark to hit, if I do say so myself. I'm really excited. I'm stoked. I have some voicemails come in from some friends of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. And I've got a really special guest joining me to chat a little bit of about Dumb Show history, and I'm looking forward to that too. So we're going to get right into that after these brief messages.
If you like what you hear on the Inexplicable Dumb Show, why not take a minute or two to fill out our listener survey? By filling out this anonymous survey, you'll make it possible for us to attract potential advertisers so we can keep bringing you the show for free. Go to our website and click the listener survey button to start now. www.inexplicabledumbshow.com.
So the call went out, and it was answered by a couple of old friends of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, and I'm really glad they called in. So I want to play the voicemails right now. They're always entertaining. We've got a call from Mr. Andrew Lucky Young, and then we've got a call from my old coach. Coach Dutch Dombrowski at Maldusty, Illinois. So here you are, fellas.
Yeah, I think I'd heard a beep there. My hearing is not as good as it used to be, but this is Andrew Lucky Young calling the Inexplicable Dumb Show to congratulate them fellas upon reaching episode 250. Now, some of you may remember Mr. Philip Collins and I touring the South with our musical based on the War of Northern Aggression. We are based in Savannah, Georgia, at the Savannah College of Automotive and Dramatics, not to be confused with the other SCAD in town. But we have been on tour for quite a while, and we have reached our 250th performance some time ago, but we were, unfortunately, incommunicado, as it were. Well, Mr. Collins, I know, would love to be up here on this phone talking about how he enjoys the show still. But we have slipped on our van, on our truck, we have slipped a timing belt has gone. And we are in the process of putting that thing back together. So he's currently occupied. But anyway, fellas, John, thanks for keeping the ship going, and we look forward to hearing many more episodes of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. This is Andrew Lucky Young. Take care. Bye now. Hey there, this is Coach Dutch Dombrowski calling in there, talking, calling from Maldusty, Illinois, calling with the Paladins, Co-Paladins, calling in here to talk to you about the Inexplicable Dumb Show and the 250 episodes and the perseverance of those five boys. Coach Rad Baldcock is out running boys through their paces. We were doing good so far. If I give it a second to give them a Paladin update, Paladin power. We are, right now we're sitting at 4-2. We've got a pretty strong defense. Offense is going good. We're experimenting with the spread offense there. But Coach Rod's really got the boys hitting their marks really well. So, again, kudos to the Inexplicable Dumb Show in reaching 250 episodes, 600. Gee, oh, God. God bless you if you make it that far. Coach Dutch Dombrowski, wishing you all the best. Go Paladins.
All All right, IDS. So I'm joined with an old friend, co-founder of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. We haven't really addressed his absence yet on the podcast. So welcome back, Teak Willen. How are you, buddy?
I am dandy. How are you?
I'm doing well. So what you been up to?
Well, life, the universe, everything. It's yeah, life sort of took over for a while, which sort of necessitated my departing, I guess, the show, unfortunately. It took over in the form of Romeo and Juliet, for lack of a better way to put it, but there was also a bunch of other stuff going on out here with regards to new curriculum and everything else and all kinds of other stuff. So, yeah, it was better, I think, to just let that, to let you kind of take over and run with things with the Inexplicable Dumb Show. And you've done a fine job, by the way.
Stop. No, keep coming. No. You really shouldn't have to say that, but you should.
I shouldn't have to, but I will, because every one of those that I've put, though, that's another zero on the check, though, right? Is that how
I'm seeing it? Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
got it. Absolutely. All right, good. No, right. it's just been real busy, man. It's just been, we just closed Romeo and Juliet, as we record this yesterday. And, I feel like I'm in that post show kind of, I don't really call it a depression per se, but I'm in that mode of, wow, I really do have an evening off kind of mode. Of course, I only have like two nights, and it's right back into the swing of things with other rehearsals or planning other things or grading or whatever else. So,
right. Ah, the life of a college professor.
Yes. which is why I have no hair anymore. You know?
Well, I thought that was because Morgan was approaching her preteen years.
No? Yeah. Well, there's that too. There is that too. Yeah. But yeah, no, Romeo and Juliet went well. We weren't really sure how well the whole Civil War thing was going to be, received out here. Cause up until even as late as opening night, we had maybe half the house sold for all the shows, I guess, or not quite half the house sold for all the shows. And so we kind of had this mindset that, well, you know, I guess that's probably about where we'll have it. And we wound up selling a lot more than that. I mean, we wound up being, opening night was sold out. And then we came within about 75 seats sold out the other three nights. You know, which again, for a straight play for Shakespeare in St. Joseph was pretty doggone good. So, very proud of the work that the three Irene Ryan nominees, from the production, first time I'd had a chance to go through a KCACTF response as a director. That was my first one.
Those are fun, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah. Luckily one of the respondents, you know, of course we were a participating entry. So one of the respondents, one of the respondents was somebody that I had gone to Alabama with. So it was a little bit of a friendly audience.
Yeah. You stacked the deck.
I did stack the deck a little bit, but that's just how we roll. So
I guess so.
But no, the kids did a great job. They did a fantastic job. I'm really proud of the work that they put into it, and they came a long way in a very short amount of time and put in a lot of work. And you know, they only had the script in their hand for a month, and for not having done Shakespeare ever on this campus, I'm really proud of the work that they did.
Now, did you do a standard edition, or did you cut and edit your own script?
I did my own cutting of it, which I probably could have and should have cut more, but you know how I am.
So. It really killed you to cut the two lines you cut out of there. I know
it did. Yeah. Both of those lines were just, you know, I think I cut a thou out and a forsooth.
Ah, well, yeah.
And then the rest of it was pretty much as Shakespeare wrote it.
Forsooths are problematic.
They are.
Now, North and South, Civil War.
Yep.
Who was what?
Capulets were Capulets were abolitionists. Jayhawkers, if you want to go with the motif that we had going out here. The Montagues were more of the bushwhackers, or the Missourians, the Southern sympathizers out here. And we tried to do a lot of that with dialogue, and we didn't try to make the play about the war. Use the war and that time period as a backdrop for the play. Mm-hmm. Which I think if you ever try to force that on the play, that it never works that way.
Right.
So I think we were successful in that regard. So that was the idea. Juliet was an abolitionist, or the Capulets were abolitionists, and the Montagues were slave owners.
Well, sounds about right.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know either. I'm just being cantankerous. It seems like there's a lot of Southern sympathizers in Missouri nowadays. But that's football. But
that's true. Yeah. Well, we're calling that Border War II. you know.
To get off track there, but that's really ridiculous.
Oh yeah. Oh well.
The whole realignment. I mean, you know, what is it? Let's get back on track.
Yeah.
Well, we can talk football some other time.
Sure.
So we got to get Paul on here. But okay, so we've reached the milestone 250, and I've made it something bigger than probably what it is. But I think it's a pretty big deal.
No, it is a big deal. It's a very big deal.
And so, let's just spend a couple minutes to kind of rehash our fondest memories. I look back.
Oh, is this a retrospective?
This is behind the podcast. This is where are they now?
Wow.
Don't worry, I'm going to add stupid little facts that pop up on the website about, you know, you particularly.
Good. It's great.
2008, T started using cocaine.
What website are you looking at? The TMZ one is rarely accurate. I mean,
that's tquillin.tumblr.com.
Oh, right. Okay, that one's the right one. Okay, yeah.
That doesn't exist, right? I didn't.
No, I don't think so.
You don't tumble?
I don't think I tumble.
It's not a bad little platform.
Not on purpose, anyway.
It's microblogging. It's for like putting up. It's for. I could be mis. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hang on.
Okay, I could be misusing it or whatever, but it seems to me to be something that it's Facebook without status updates, pretty much.
Mm. Okay.
Like you can post articles and stuff and people reblog it and, but I mean, you can have direct involvement with other people on there, but I'm never on there enough to warrant having direct contact with anybody.
Right. So.
I've actually started to use it as, I have one, jmalden.tumblr.com, and I've just used it kind of as a, hey, I think this is kind of cool. Watch this. So there's a lot of trippy videos and that sort of thing. So.
Right. After you started using cocaine.
Well, yes. PCP, little angel dust.
Got it. Mm-hmm. I see. I got it.
Well, you know, I got it from you, so.
Well, you know, that's where I left that. Okay.
It's not been the same since you take the ficus, ficus plants out of the studio.
Well,
so.
All right.
And Adolphus the cat.
Adolphus. Oh, how I miss thee.
You have him. What are you talking about?
No, I don't. Oh, jeez. That means we lost him. Oh, jeez.
And he's in Arkansas somewhere. What the heck's going on?
I don't know.
All right. So this, you know, originally came up with your idea, your baby. So what made you want to do a podcast 251
weeks ago?
Episodes ago, yes. 250 episodes, right?
250, yeah, right. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it was, it honestly started from, when I, it was an idea right after I got my first iPod. I realized that there was this thing called podcasting, and, that there were these literally at that point, hundreds of topics out there, you know, that you could down, like, people were just recording stuff and downloading things, and, you know, you could download any topic and listen to it, and anybody and their brother could create content and put it online. And I thought, you know, that's pretty cool. And I've got, you know, I've got the audio background and the capability. I've got, they already got the software to, you know, on the computer to do this. It won't cost anything to do this. So why not? and then I thought, okay, well, what am I going to talk about? And then it just kind of made sense that, you know, this was, you know, that, that there wasn't, there really wasn't a theater podcast at that point at all, let alone one that focused on any one specific area. And so I decided to get a microphone and stand in my closet for a half an hour. and the rest is history.
The rest is history, as they say.
Yeah.
Well, I've just got to, it was very funny because this past fall SETC, I went down and helped out Food Play Productions. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to one of the company members there about how, you know, the our history of the podcast and how we're doing it. Right. And this will you'll appreciate this. She goes, she says to me, "Wow, well, you guys were cutting edge back then."
Back then.
Oh, lo, these 5 years ago.
Right.
So there's a dose of reality for you. In new media, we're dinosaurs.
That's it. Yeah, we never switched over to video.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And video killed the radio star, so.
Yeah, they even wrote a song about it. You think we'd learned.
I know, way back when. But look what happened to MTV now. See, we just stick around long enough. You see what happened to MTV now. just wait, my friend. Our time will come.
Well, so, we'll be nominated into the Podcaster Hall of Fame.
That's it. That's precisely it. That's precisely it. But no, I just, it seemed like that there were plenty of, you know, there were plenty of theater companies out there that were doing great, interesting things. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't ever meant to be just about us, you know, mm-hmm. meaning you and I or what we were doing. It was about getting out and finding out what other artists were doing all over the place and providing them an opportunity to talk about it. And other people all, you know, all over the world, a chance to listen to it and be inspired by it. And, you know, I mean, that was basically where the idea came from.
Well, I tell you what, the enormity of it from the sense of, you're in your little room, your little closet, your little studio. You say what you say. You put it out on the internet, and the fact that you, like you just mentioned, the world can check you out. That just still blows my mind a little bit. I was interviewing Blackbird Theater here in Nashville, and they just had done Magic, I guess, earlier in the fall, and they were talking about, well, why you do this, and, you know, your downloads, and blah, 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 blah. And I said, you know, well, I mean, I haven't done all the math, but recently we're, you know, still averaging around, you know, peaks and valleys, but still average around 1,000 downloads per episode.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh, my God, really? And I said, well, yeah. I mean, you know, we've got people in people in Tennessee, but there's people in China, there's people in Australia, there's people in New Zealand, there's people in England. I mean, just the sheer fact that it is accessible to everyone that has, you know, internet access, wherever they may be.
Right.
It kind of blows the mind a little bit for me anyway. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's humbling. I mean, it's very humbling to, you know, to look at those numbers and to, you know, to always look at those numbers and see, you know, what it is that's going on, and to see how many people, and it's always nice to get that feedback from the listeners too, whether it's an email or a tweet or a Facebook post or whatever.
Right. This just proves you're not doing it in vain, you know? I mean,
right. Well, I mean, it's also nice just to get the, not just the, hey, what am I doing this for thing, but just the idea that, you know, somebody's out there and listening to it and saying, you know, yeah, no, I, what you guys are doing is relevant and really, really enjoy it. And it means something, you know?
Right.
So yeah, no, it's good, and I'm glad that you were willing and able to take it and run with it when I couldn't anymore, just for health and sanity purposes. I'm glad that you were able to take it and run with it and have made it your own, you know, to a certain extent. I mean, you know, it is your show, and I think that's great. And I hope you continue with it and keep it going. And who knows? I mean, maybe at some point in the not too distant future, maybe I can come back on and, you know, spend some more time if I'm divided, of course, you know.
Right. Sure. No, no, we'll always have a fold out cot for you.
Nice. Okay. The equity cot's always in the,
that's where Adolphus the cat used to lay, but since you took him, you might want
to. Okay, good. Good. So the cat bed is where I'm going to be. Got it.
Yeah. So take your Advil or whatever. What do you take for, I don't know, allergies to cats?
Oh, Benadryl.
Benadryl. Take your Benadryl. Thank you.
Got it.
No, I was really, I want to say thank you for, laying this on me 5 years ago.
dumping it on you 5 years ago.
Getting me interested in something. But no, I mean, it was a lot of fun. I kind of joke kid that it was kind of fun to come in and be sort of the, you had the grasp on all the audio stuff, and I felt like what I could contribute is more, you know, not, kind of on the creative side of, well, you need this and we got to have that and we should have this and let's do this sound effect. You know what I mean? And so,
right. Yeah.
And, I think, so that was fun coming in, but then having to actually start to do all this stuff too was a great learning experience for me as well. So, again, you were immensely helpful and educated. So you're a good teacher, man.
Oh, thanks.
But no, it was a lot of fun. I thought, more than welcome, to come back at some later date.
Yeah, I got your, you sent out an email, I think, or a tweet, maybe it was, a couple of weeks ago, or maybe it was a week ago, about the 250th episode coming up. And I was actually going to call, the voicemail and just leave a voicemail for you. You know, just saying, hey, I'm thinking about you and congratulations and all of that kind of stuff. And, but then before I got a chance to do that, you had emailed me and said, you know, can we set up a time to talk? And I went, yeah, okay, well, I'll do that instead. Yeah, that's a better way to do this, I think, than just calling and leaving a voicemail, you know, to celebrate something of that magnitude. You know.
Well, I'm glad the initial thought was that I was worth 10 seconds.
Well, I was gonna give you 15, but okay. For you, it's 15.
You know? Outstanding.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, let's see. Oh, I've got to. I'm looking at my calendar here because, have you heard of? I wanted to get your feedback on this as well because a couple weeks ago I interviewed Rachel Ward. And she talked about being involved with Terminator the Second. Now, have you heard of this project?
I have not. No.
I think by the time this episode goes live, its run will have ran.
Okay.
They took a different twist on kind of conceptualizing Shakespeare.
Okay.
They took the Terminator movie and added Shakespearean dialogue to tell the Terminator's story, but okay. using Shakespeare text.
Okay. Okay.
So instead of pulling, instead of adding Terminator look to a, let's say, Julius Caesar or something, they took lines from Julius Caesar and Macbeth and, you know, Hamlet and all this and kind of pulled them together to create a script to tell the Terminator's second story. What was interesting is they started Kickstarter and got over $10,000 through this Kickstarter program. Are you familiar with Kickstarter?
Oh, yes, I am. Uh-huh.
Well, they got $10,000 and they've just mounted it at the Nashville School of the Arts this past, I guess as this goes live, this past weekend, the 14th through the 18th.
Oh, cool.
But I thought it was kind of cool that they took, they kind of flipped the script, so to speak. You know,
yeah.
we throw all this stuff on Shakespeare, but how about taking Shakespeare and throwing him on something else?
Yeah, no, I like that.
So
yeah, that's cool.
I'm gonna time travel again, and my eye TARDIS. I'm gonna try to go back and actually see that performance. But I just saw this kind of pop up. She talked to me. I taught her an M tissue, and she said, "I'm doing this." Oh well, let's chat about it. And immediately, I thought, I wonder what you know. T would think of this because of your love of the Bard. So
I think that's a cool idea. I think it's I'm all for that. I mean that to me that's akin to the idea of incorporating the tweets during the production of what was it? We talked about this at SETC a couple of years ago. There was a school that kind of incorporated tweeting during production.
Right. They had him up in the balcony. I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but.
And I can't remember the production either, but seems to me it was a Shakespeare production now. Anyway. And I know that Paul Crook had, I want to say Paul Crook did a thing where he did Romeo and Juliet a couple of years ago and had Romeo and Juliet and Benvolio and I just did the show. Mercutio and those guys.
They all die. It doesn't matter.
They all die. Whatever. Tweeting, sending each other tweets and tweeting in character. And I thought that was clever. So, I mean, it's all the same type of thing. I don't want to trivialize what she did, and I don't mean to at all, but anything that we can do to bring Shakespeare back to make it more immediate for an audience nowadays is what we need to do. You know what I mean?
Right.
And if that means that we take a bunch of different scripts and culminate them together and put them on something to tell a different story, then yeah, give it a shot. Why not? You know, see what happens. I mean, worst thing that happens is it doesn't work. I mean, you know,
and to be fair, I mean, the Bard himself has been known to lift, borrow, and paraphrase. So
yes, he has. quite a bit. Quite a bit. So I don't think he would frown upon the practice at all. at all. So I think it's a really cool idea. I think it's a really, really neat idea. I wish I was there to actually see the outcome of it.
I can't do this on the audio podcast, obviously, but you need to check the website out. So go look at the show notes at inexplicabledumbshow.com. They've done it right. They have a great interface. It's all James Cameron-y Terminator 2 look going on with Shakespeare.
Oh, cool!
It's pretty cool. Cool project that I think is taking a fair turn to get to this point. But I thought it was cool on multiple fronts. One, the text and the treatment of the story, and then two, saying hey. I got this project. I want to go get it done. They put it out on Kickstarter. Gets picked up by Sci-Fi Channel. Gets, of course, all the sci-fi blogs across the Twitterverse and everything picked it up. And they've done as far as an overall do-it-yourself, you know, make-it-work project, they've done it. It's called Husky Jackal Theater Company. And
nice.
So, I mean, I don't know what will be in store for this company as it progresses past this. Like, I don't know if this is going to be their thing or if this is a, you know,
right,
their intro into having a season or, you know, whatever. But, yeah, so Nashville folks have, should turn out to see this.
Oh, cool. That I wish I was there to see it. That sounds awesome. Speaking of things that we have talked about in the past, I've been following Cameron McNary's play of Dice and Men, both on Facebook and Twitter. And apparently he just had a, you know, they've done a stage reading of it. They did a stage reading of it at the PAX convention, PAX East, but apparently it has now been produced by a theater company in, a professional theater company in Seattle, I believe it is. Following up with him on that, if you want to do a follow-up interview with him on that, might not be a bad idea to kind of get an update on it. That it seems to be picking up a little bit of traction, for him anyway. It seems to be getting a lot of really good press, not just amongst the gamer types, but it seems to be getting a lot of really good press as a play that uses gamer, you know, the gamer setting as a way to tell a really tender-hearted story, which it is. I mean, I remember reading one of the drafts of his play, and it's actually a very, very strong script in and of its own right. But it's picking up quite a bit of traction in and of its own right itself. So there may be a follow-up interview for you there. I don't know.
So. Yeah, I might have to give him a shout, see if he'll chat with me.
Yeah.
So cool, man.
Well, congratulations on 250.
Oh, thanks.
On, you know, limping in there one-legged without me. No, I'm only kidding. It is a huge accomplishment.
It may stop at 251, but...
yeah, right. Well, that's when I set all the equipment to self-destruct was episode 251.
Oh,
so
sweet.
Yeah.
Well, cool, man. So,
yeah. Well, I appreciate you having me back on.
Yeah. Anytime. Let me know when you got something we're talking about.
Right. I will. We got Christmas Carol coming up, and then I've got my post-apocalyptic arsenic and old lace that we got to talk about. So.
Okay. Yeah. Post-apocalyptic arsenic and old lace. We'll be fine. That will be fine to talk about, sir.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks, man.
Thank you. So that's it, folks. Episode 250 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. And may there be 250 more, God willing, and the creek don't rise. I'd like to thank T. Quillen for coming back on and chatting old times and reconnecting on this special episode for the Inexplicable Dumb Show. And well, hopefully in the near future or the far future or some future, we'll have him back on, maybe as a regular contributor or at least my Dumb Show University representative. I don't know. But anyway, I'd also like to thank Andrew Lucky Young for his call-in and for Coach Dutch Dombrowski. Cheers to the Paladins. Hope all is well for the rest of the season there. And you too can be part of the Dumb Show. Call 615-866-1282 and give me your thoughts about the Dumb Show and the Dumb Show's future. Or you can send me an email, podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter, Inexplicable, capital D, capital S, hard to say, Inexplicable DS. Follow us on Twitter. Hey, next week we start kicking off 250 more. Hey, I'll see you. Bye. That's a detergent.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality wave files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. instant album downloads, or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at magnatune.com. That's M-A-G-N-A-T-U-N-E. Magnatune. We are not evil.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No East. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.